It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are off and running for the third day of September 2019. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. Also at HeadOn.live is the access point for the chat room. If you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, every Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific, well, just hop on by, pick out a screen name and a password. You'll be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and Jimmy and Squeaky. And capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although a third stage guild navigator, no folding space into the center of the sun for him today. It's just too hot. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And remember, HeadOn.live is the best place to go for all your podcasting needs for the program. We've got Brother Deacon Asa has provided a portal there for just about every podcasting platform you could possibly need. And if there's one you use that we don't have listed, let us know, and Brother Deacon Asa will get right at it. Brother Deacon Asa letting me know, Captain's wheel fully turned towards that iceberg, Skipper Bob. We'll show it who's boss.
Full speed ahead, flank speed. That iceberg doesn't know how. We're not going to make any deals with that iceberg. We're just going to break it up.
Yeah, no kidding. That's because it's Trumptanic Tuesday. Yeah. And we've got, of course, a lot of what is all too typically the usual news for the evening. We celebrate, if celebrate is the right word, instances of titanic white wing intellect on Tuesdays here. The kind of intellect that says flank speed, full speed ahead toward that iceberg. Todd pointing out earlier, pretty soon we won't have to worry about overpopulation. We'll be concerned with underpopulation in the United States because we will have shot each other to death. We got a long way to go to get there, but this is the 244th day of 2019, and we've had our 283rd mass shooting. Jesus. And meanwhile, Dorian is churning along out there, just creeping in no particular hurry, and causing no small amount of consternation along the southeastern coast. And, as previously noted, among maggots in Alabama, causing them to think they're going to be hit by a hurricane that, no matter how many times NOAA and the National Weather Service say, no, it's not going to hit, Alabama's not going to have any effects whatsoever. Well, their God Emperor says otherwise.
It could. It definitely could. I don't know where Alabama is. I think it's somewhere. What is the capital of Alabama? Bonomo?
Yeah. to the point that, and, you know, I don't put any stock in what he says, but Anthony the Mooch Scaramucci says that the signs of his nitwit Nero's mental decline are obvious. Of course, we've been saying that for a long time. Not that it'll make anybody actually do anything. This program, like every other program at the Horn, begins with gratitude, with thanks to our subscribers who help keep the program on the air and buy their subscriptions, well, knock out about a quarter of the monthly funding goals that we have here. So thanks go out for this third day of the month subscriber group to John and to Janice, to Stephen, a member of the Fraternity of Steve, and to Gene and Ann across the pond. Thank you all very kindly indeed for all you do to keep this little experiment in non-commercial, non-capitalist broadcasting afloat. Since program note, again, I will not be here tomorrow evening. Agnes and I have to attend a funeral. And so that'll put a hole in the middle of the week. But back on Thursday, this program itself will be truncated by an hour. I'll be filling in for Malloy this evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And hopefully you'll join me then over at Progressive, the TuneIn channel on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. Backwards. Yeah. So the fundraising goal for the evening will be the regular $200, and that way when we won't have any deficit by when I get back on Thursday evening. If we can raise $200 this evening, the more the merrier. You know the math, 10 at 20, 20 at 10, etc. Thank you very kindly to everybody who met the goals last night and made it possible for us to do this way. That way we are actually even going into Thursday if we can raise the $200 this evening. Thanks. Note coming in from Steve in New York. Subject line, and I know a lot of you saw this earlier today. Subject line, Poland. Because this is rather an auspicious day, or an infamous day, I should say. It was 80 years ago today that German forces, including the Wehrmacht and the Luftwaffe, rolled across the Polish frontier and started the Second World War in earnest. The Poles mounted a heroic resistance, but horse cavalry versus panzer tanks really was no match. In fact, Nitwit Nero was supposed to be in Poland to mark the anniversary, but he stayed home because of the hurricane. Not because of the slaughter in Odessa and Midland, Texas. I mean, that happens anyway. That's every day in America. But because Hurricane Dorian was sort of pointing right at the cupola of his tacky-ass pile of bricks there at Mar-a-Lago, he stayed home. He would have liked to have gone to Poland. He likes Poland. Because Poland has taken a nasty shift toward the fascist right in recent years. He was there a year or so ago, and people had been told in advance they could not fly the Nazi flag that they wanted to fly, and so instead they flew the American Confederate flag because they understood that those two symbols, well, they're roughly equivalent. And so when he was in Poland, there were a lot of American Confederate, the devil's diaper, flying there among the people who came out to see him and melanoma. But he didn't get to go. So instead, he had to be content with wishing, with sending them a message. And he congratulated Poland. This is not a joke. No. He congratulated Poland for having been invaded and raped and murdered by Germany 80 years ago today. Congratulated them. Yeah, that's what Steve was talking about. I'd like to congratulate Poland on their invasion by Germany 80 years ago. And what a yawning hell mouth that opened up into perdition. Auschwitz, you may recall, is in Poland.
Congratulations to Poland. It's not everybody that can be invaded by Germany to start the Second World War.
Now, meanwhile, the Japanese had been brutalizing China for several years before 1939, but we didn't see that as the beginning of the Second World War. The Second World War began when white people started fighting. See how it works. Yeah. What a great line. And I think there's going to have to be a cowbell for this. Scott in San Diego says, the iceberg, you know, the one that the Trump tannic is bearing down on, that iceberg is populated by Trump's army of unfuckable hate nerds. Unfuckable hate nerds really should be the name of an up-and-coming punk band. Meanwhile, note coming in from Kyle. Subject. Conversion. Yep. Might as well do this one now. Because the goddess of irony is a brutal goddess. But occasionally, well, she takes it over the top. The person in question is McCray Game, G-A-M-E. Or, I don't know, Game-E. McCray Game. And he founded and he led Hope for Wholeness in South Carolina. That was an anti-gay conversion therapy outfit. He's 51 years old, McCray Game. Or McCray Game-E. G-A-M-E. And last week, in a Facebook post, he wrote the following. I certainly regret where I caused harm, promoting the triadic model that blamed parents and conversion or prayer therapy that made many people believe that their orientation was wrong, bad, sinful, evil, and worse, that they could change was absolutely harmful. It's all in my past, but many, way too many, continue believing that there is something wrong with themselves and wrong with people who choose to live their lives honestly and openly as gay, lesbian, trans, etc. Learn to love yourself and others. 20 years in the ex-gay ministry, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Because, you see, McCray Game came out. A guy who tortured a generation's worth of young people, brought to him by evangelical Christians, parents, for him to pray away the gay. Well, the whole time, he himself was in the closet, gay himself. This past Saturday, interviewed by the Post and Courier, he said, conversion therapy is a lie. It's false advertising. And he said conversion therapy should be shut down. And what's interesting is that he's just one of several leaders from the conversion therapy scam who have come out as gay, or some, generally speaking, a member of the LGBTQ community. It's a stunning number, really. 700,000 innocent human beings have been put through some form of conversion therapy in their lives. That number from 2018 and the UCLA Williams Institute. And only 18 states, have any protection for young people against that hateful bullying masquerading as science. So Kyle says, that conversion therapy guy from South Carolina came out as gay, and as a gay man, I'm going to be a little empathetic. I think he continued to take money and fund conversion therapy because a large portion of society tells LGBTQ people that we're not valid. I'm obviously not defending the guy who spent his life funding therapy to change people like me into what society says they should be, but it's easy to see how someone could be such a so-called self-hating gay when society gives us so many reasons to hate ourselves. Society has a long way to go toward equality and even treating everyone as an equal being. Isn't that the truth? And, you know, the funny thing is the gay community will probably be, well, there's no probably about it. They will be more forgiving of him than the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians have ever been of any gay person. In other words, the gay community will treat him with more Christian love and charity than the Christian community has ever treated a gay person. Thanks, Kyle. In regard to the conversion therapy, Scott in San Diego says, I'll be calling in today with a TV viewing tip on that very topic. So, for later in the program. Ron in Raleigh, can you say self-hating? When will Marcus Bachman see the light? Ooh, a Marcus Bachman reference. You know, I think he's probably already given us a hint here and there. I suppose he doesn't go to the Iowa State Fair anymore. Laborman says, pray away. You sure it's pray away the gay? I thought they sucked out those demons. Well, they do from time to time. As the Presbyterian minister in, I believe, New Jersey was fond of doing. Yep. Sometimes. You know, they'd be funny if they weren't so tragically hateful. But there's one. And about a year ago, McCray Game
was unceremoniously shit canned from the gay, from the conversion therapy outfit that he had founded and run. But, you know, one more piece of testimonial evidence that is that it is the fraud we've all long known it was. Meanwhile, back to Ron and Raleigh beat you to it, Jimmy. Jimmy in the Great Northwest said, "Hey, who beat me to the Marcus Bachman line?" Yeah, that was Ron and Raleigh, Jimmy. It's not a matter of being beaten to the line. It's a matter of great minds thinking alike. That happens a lot here. Going back to the Odessa Midland massacre, subject line, background checks. David in South Carolina stands as an Odessa terrorist got his weapon in a private sale avoiding a background check. Maggots online laughing, saying that this proves that gun laws and background checks don't work. Yes, they find it funny that a 17-month-old baby girl was shot in the face because the terrorist outsmarted the gun laws. But it goes to show the stupidity of the maggots. Because even when Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, was bragging about that, well, he, by saying that he had failed a background check in trying to purchase a weapon at retail, and he still got a gun, well, Greg Abbott pointed out the fact that the background check works. And as Darlene in Connecticut pointed out last night, gun deaths are down by some 40% after Connecticut enacted more stringent firearms laws. The assault weapon ban during the Clinton administration worked quite spectacularly, and mass shootings decreased. And it's not because people became better people. It's just that the homicidal maniacs had a harder time getting their hands on deadly weapons. There we go. But, yeah, the maggots are, they may have been laughing over that, but they're having a hissy as well. Because having hissies is what maggots do when you get right down to it. Walmart shocked the nation today. You may recall that after the El Paso massacre, the CEO of Dick's Sporting Goods, who had previously made a bold and intelligent decision to stop selling assault rifles. Well, as the nation's number one retailer of firearms, he called on Walmart to stop doing the same. At first, Walmart was quiet about it. But today came the significant news that they're going to stop selling ammunition for assault rifles and handguns, causing outraged howls throughout the corridors of the National Ruble Association. And the NRA, well, they went into shit hemorrhage mode. Over on Twitter, the National Ruble Association posted, "It is shameful to see at Walmart succumb to the pressure of the anti-gun elites. Lines at Walmart will soon be replaced by lines at other retailers who are more supportive of America's fundamental freedoms." And what they mean by that is the freedom to buy guns to make up for some sort of perceived lack among pasty-faced, doughy, paranoid, fetishistic white dudes. Mm-hmm. And the anti-gun elites referred to by the National Ruble Association in that post, that's another way of saying people who don't want to be murdered by assault rifle semi-automatic weapons fire. And fundamental freedoms to the NRA apparently does not include the freedom to not be shot by one of said weapons. They issued a full hissy statement. The strongest defense of freedom, freedom, Wolverines, has always been our free market economy. It is shameful to see Walmart, the truth is Walmart's actions today will not make us any safer. Rather than place the blame on the criminal, Walmart has chosen to victimize law-abiding Americans. Our leaders must be willing to approach the problems of crime, violence, and mental health with sincerity and honesty. Now, that's the single most insincere and dishonest statement made on gun violence in this country since the last time the National Ruble Association opined on gun violence in this country. So Walmart makes a free market decision. They are under no obligation to sell firearms, just like they're under no obligation to sell Klan robes or hoop skirts for the cotillion. It's all based on market demand, market economics, what people want. And they determined it would be in their economic best interest to stop being a facilitator of the slaughter of their own customers. But the NRA, apparently thinking the strongest defense of freedom has always been our free market economy, then because they're stupid and drunk on the blood that they spill, they then deride a free market economic decision on the part of the biggest retailer in the world. The line about Walmart has chosen to victimize law-abiding Americans is 200-proof bullshit. You know who victimizes Americans? Lawful and unlawful gun owners. That's who victimizes Americans. There will be no victims of Walmart not selling ammo. Not one victim. A victim may generally be said to be someone who has been on the receiving end of a breach of the peace or of a crime. Hint to Wayne the Peter, there in that big blue mirror glass cube tower of evil in Fairfax, Virginia, hard by I-68. It is not a crime not to sell ammunition. They're beginning over there in Fairfax to see the finger moving upon the wall, writing as in Babylon of old, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, or something like that. I have measured you, and having measured you, you are found wanting. And this country will not begin to truly heal from this paroxysm of bloodshed until the National Rifle Association, the National Ruble Association, ceases to exist. Until its membership, until it has no membership, because it does not exist. Until that multi-million dollar tower no longer exists, and the earth beneath it has been plowed and strewn with salt. That's when America will become, or we will be on the way to becoming, a far better nation. Of all the things that we need to fix in this country, and there are many, none could have a greater positive impact on this country than driving the National Ruble Association from the public sphere. Not by legislation, but by choice. By people deciding to be moral and upstanding and not participate with a bunch of cynical, blood-soaked, money-grubbing gun freaks. Free market. And let's not forget there was another shooting at another Walmart, not just El Paso, but a Walmart in far northwest Mississippi. And they can holler about it being shameful all they want, but there's a chance that because of what Walmart has done, a few more children get another year to keep growing. And that is a positive step in the right direction. Steps in the wrong direction happened yesterday. You know, I mentioned that over the weekend there was a mass shooting at a high school football game in Alabama. 10 people were shot, but nobody died, so it didn't bleed enough to lead. But now we get news that yesterday in Limestone County, Alabama, which is right next to the county where I grew up, a 14-year-old boy picked up a firearm and murdered his 38-year-old father, his stepmother, his 6-year-old brother, his 5-year-old sister, and his 6-month-old brother. You may very well have not even seen this in the news because it barely registered. Law enforcement are still investigating and still trying to put the pieces together. Not of the people, but of the crime. And they don't have a lot of answers, but they know this much. The firearm was in the home illegally. I guess it's just as well that we haven't heard too much about it in the news, because some scumbag from the National Ruble Association, or somebody who carries their water and runs for political office as a Republican, would be out there talking about how bad people will always be able to get guns. Or saying that, well, yeah, he's 14 years old, he probably listened to that hippity-hoppity music and played violent video games. You can hear the soundbite now if you use even a little bit of your imagination. There's no ID yet on the boy, but his father's name was John Sisk. And, well, somehow or another, a firearm illegally made its way into the home. Now, when we say a firearm was illegal in the home, we don't necessarily know exactly what that means. Because domestic violence can get firearms removed from a home. Adjudication of mental illness can get firearms removed from the home. As can being a convicted felon. Let's check in with the Limestone County Sheriff's Office.
I'm the Public Information Officer with the Limestone County Sheriff's Office here in Athens, Alabama. For those who need it, the spelling is S-T-E-P-H-E-N-Y-O-U-N-G. Unfortunately, we're here to discuss a tragedy on a scale that we're not used to here in Limestone County, Alabama. It's important that you understand that this is a community that has a lot of healing to do right now. This is going to have a ripple effect among family, among friends, among the local community there in the Elkmont.
Oh, that's interesting. The audio, as they say, up and died. Probably not the best terms. Let's skip ahead a bit.
The offender is 14 years of age and is not yet adjudicated through the system. He is currently charged with 5 counts of juvenile murder and is currently held in a juvenile detention facility. However, pending the adjudication process, could face adult charges of multiple counts of murder and or capital murder. The offender called 911 approximately 11 p.m. Monday evening. He met deputies in the driveway and told them that he had been in the basement of the home and heard gunshots from the main level of the home upstairs. This was in the 25,000 block of Ridge Road in Elkmont, Alabama. At that time, he said that he ran out the door and there was very little other information given. Upon speaking to Sheriff Blakely investigators, enough discrepancies were found in his statements that Sheriff Blakely and an investigator brought him here to the office to interview him. Upon being confronted with some of the inconsistencies, he did admit to shooting the 5 family members. All 5 were family members, and all 5 live in the residence. He did assist investigators later in the evening and this morning in finding the handgun on the side of the road where he had allegedly tossed it. Right now, we will not be able to give you a lot of confirmable information about that handgun other than that it was illegally in the residence. The handgun was illegally in the residence. At this point, those are the only updates that we can state here, and we will provide more information as it becomes available. And at this time, I want to introduce with the Limestone County Board of Education, Dr. Karen Tucker.
Board of Education?
Thank you, Deputy Young. On behalf of the Limestone County Board of Education and Superintendent Tom Sisk, Limestone County Schools is deeply saddened of the tragedy that happened in our Elkmont community. We're concentrating our efforts in assisting the students and the faculties, as well as community, in dealing with this tragedy. Additional school counselors and Limestone County mental health counselors are on site. These individuals will be available as long as there is a need.
Oh, I guess that's what you do. But, regardless, did you notice in there that they're probably going to charge him with capital murder and move to try him as an adult? You know what that combination means, right? It means that some district attorney in Limestone County will announce his desire to, in the name of the state of Alabama, murder the boy for murdering his family. Because, well, that solves everything, doesn't it? Jesus. But it's also noteworthy that he tried originally to evade culpability. He lied to the cops. Now, I don't know what it means when the Limestone County Sheriff's Deputy says that inconsistencies were found in his story and that he eventually complied and told the truth. There are no pictures of the kid because he's still a juvenile. But God Almighty. 6 months old. 5 years old. 6 years old. And his mama, or his daddy and his stepmama. There must have been something horribly wrong in that family. Some sort of deep and abiding dysfunction. And guess what? A firearm did not prove to be a bulwark protecting their freedom. And in a way, this goes to what our buddy Mark was talking about last night. You cannot outdraw a drawn weapon. A 14-year-old with a handgun got the drop on his entire family. And a full-grown 38-year-old man couldn't do a damn thing about it. And guess what? Had there been two illegal firearms in the home, he still couldn't have done anything about it because he would have been a dead guy with a gun in his hand. Yeah, there's that too. Anytime we're talking about law enforcement in a place like Alabama, you wind up with more questions than you have answers. Steve in New York says, who was there to safeguard his rights against self-incrimination? Probably no one. Now, son, something's wrong here. And you know Jesus don't like lying. It's bad enough what you done. You want to go to hell for it? Jesus will forgive you. The state of Alabama won't, but Jesus will forgive you if you just tell the truth. Yeah. But again, almost no mention of it whatsoever in the multimillionaire for-profit media today, because it's just another day that ends in Y. Monday was just another day that ends in Y and ended in pools of blood. and that that's just Monday. But there is some, I guess there's some solace to be taken. Because Tony
Norman, yes, Mother Bates,
Perkins, who runs a hate group outfit called the Family Research Council, well, over the weekend, he explained why America has mass murders, why America has massacres. It's funny, in an effort to downplay his association as the founder and operator of a hate group, when Fox News TV Radio Rwanda ID'd him on screen on Sunday, they described him as former police officer Tony
Norman, yes, Mother Bates,
Perkins. And he was there to explain the causes of things like Odessa and Midland, of El Paso and Dayton, of Gilroy and Elkmont. Add Elkmont, that tiny little community, to the list. Yeah. So why do these things happen, Tony?
Officials say it does not, at this moment, appear to be terrorism-related. Todd.
Pete, thanks. A Fox News alert now. Five people are dead, 21 others injured, including three law enforcement officers, after a traffic stop on a West Texas highway sparks a drive-by shooting rampage. Joining us now, Southern Baptist pastor and former police officer, Tony Perkins, also the president of the Family Research Council. Tony, as always, a pleasure to have you. First, I want to get your thoughts on the shooting in Texas.
Don't you love that? Also, head of the Family Research Council. Oh, by the way, that's his main shtick. That's all he is. He has no expertise on why shootings happen. He has no particular knowledge of psychology, psychiatry, law. He's just a former cop who also is a former, well, a Baptist preacher, and he runs a hate hustle. But that's, you know, oh, by the way.
Well, the words have been used far too frequently and are beginning to use their meaning, but it's tragic. And at some point, we have to realize that as a nation, we have a problem. And
It's tragic, and we have a problem. My goodness gracious, however would we have gotten through the day without bold and trenchant statements like that? We've got a problem. Well, Tony, what kind of problem do we have, buddy?
The problem is not the absence of laws, it's an absence of morality.
Really? It's a morality problem. What caliber is that morality measured in, Tony? Absence of morality. You know, it's funny, whenever we have one of these mass shootings, one of these massacres, in addition to the lack of morality, it always seems like it's the presence of easily obtainable firearms that seems to make the difference. I suppose there are people of sketchy morality all over the country, and well, morality is one of those things where one man's nightshirt is another man's nightgown. For instance, understand that as an anti-gay hate group, the Family Research Council, which doesn't do any research and doesn't give a shit about families, they care about, you know, the scratch, the money. The Family Research Council
thinks that people who love each other in a way that they don't approve of are immoral. In the eyes of the Family Research Council, every gay person in the world is immoral. No matter how long they've been together, no matter how deep their commitment, they're immoral. Muslims, according to the Family Research Council, are immoral. Hindus, the same. If you get them liquored up enough, they'll tell you all the Jews are going to burn in hell. And people who drink liquor are immoral, as long as they're not a member of the Family Research Council executive staff and haven't been seen, you know, in the liquor store. Morality. Something tells me he's going to expand on that theme.
Really, the result of a decades-long march through the institutions of America, driving religion and God from the public square.
Well, let's get into a little bit more on.
Oh, wait. Okay, so everybody doesn't have to say "Sieg Heil Jesus" to the Christian flag every morning. So that's why we have mass shootings. Somewhere, the molecules remaining of the ashes of Aristotle are reconstituting themselves just so they can roll over somewhere. We're not a theocracy, therefore we are immoral, therefore we have massacres. You know who'd be right down with an assertion like that? The mullahs in Iran or any other state that the Wahhabi assholes that run religious practice for our partners in peace in Saudi Arabia, they'd go, oh, couldn't agree more. Well, I mean, you're the wrong religion, but I couldn't agree more. See, that's all Tony Perkins needs to do is a quick conversion, and he could be a member of the Council for Promoting Virtue and Elimination of Vice right there in Mecca and Riyadh and the rest of that sandy wasteland. Morality. Driven God from the public square. The question does arise. If God is the almighty, all-powerful, knows all, sees all, right, how can you drive it from the public square? And while we're at it, we'll ask the seminal question, what does God need with a starship? Thereby taking care of our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening.
That you have a new op-ed out sort of going into this topic on trying to end gun violence. What do we need to do as a country?
Well, Todd, I'm willing, as a former police officer and an ardent supporter of the Second Amendment, I'm willing to sit down with the left who say, I don't want to hear any more about your prayers. Well, I agree. Praying alone is not enough. It's time to act.
I don't think he means act like we mean act, like closing the gun show loophole. Background checks on every firearms purchase. No, praying alone is not enough. Never mind the fact that praying is useless as tits on a boar. But praying alone, he's going the Book of James route here. Faith without works is dead.
And it's not just about having a conversation about restricting those who should not have guns, criminals, but it's also a discussion of the absence of a moral core in our culture today. I mean, look, we've taught our kids that they are a chance.
Here comes the absence of the moral core. What is, and you know, you're welcome to share your ideas on this. What is
morality? What constitutes a moral core? This, of course, is one of those questions that has bedeviled us since we got out of the trees and started walking on our own hind legs. What does it mean to be moral? What is of greater value, mercy or justice? What is truth? What is beauty? What is love? You can read everything that the ancient Greeks ever came up with on the topic and still be left scratching your head, because there are no hard answers to these questions. If Tony Norman, yes, Mother Bates, Perkins had his way, and you couldn't turn around for seeing a copy of the Ten Commandments, if every football game, baseball game, basketball game began with prayer, if children in public schools and, well, religion schools too, had to not only say grace before meals, but had to pray before algebra and pray before chemistry and pray before history and pray before English and pray before PE, I don't think it would slow down the slaughter one iota. Because, among other reasons, there is no evidence to suggest that it would. What Perkins is doing is engaging in a little bit of, theocratic legerdemain. He's pointing back to a time in America when we prayed all over the place, and when the churches were fuller than they are now, and saying, ha ha, proof. And the sad thing is that the people who tune in to Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, have not, for the most part, been taught much in the way of critical thinking skills. And so they don't know the old axiom that correlation is not causation. Things can happen at a correlative time and yet not be causally related. Because back when the churches were full and we were praying all over the place, people of color couldn't drink from the same water fountain as somebody like, say, Tony Perkins. Gay people had to live in the shadows and be tormented by law enforcement for simply loving. Nonetheless, that's part of his agenda. He wants that world to return. He wants a segregated America, a closeted America, an America that recognizes and puts into practice white supremacy as a matter of public policy. More on the white supremacy in a moment.
They come about by chance through primordial slime, and then we're surprised that they treat their fellow Americans like dirt. It's time we talk about the result of the left's systematic march through our institutions, driving religious expression from the public square.
So evolution causes... Teaching evolution causes massacres. As of airtime this evening, there was no further statement from Tony Norman, yes, Mother Bates, Perkins, on whether homosexuals cause hurricanes. You really don't even have to guess about that, do you?
I think we have to go back to the point where we instill in these children, or at least give them the opportunity to know that they're created in the image of God, therefore they have inherent value.
Yeah, they're created in the image of God. Sure, let's tell them that. Then let's tell them what God did to the Edomites, or the people of Sodom. Or let's tell them, after we tell them they're made in the image of God, let's tell them about what God let Lot's daughters do to Lot. And then let's show them the verse that says, and Lot was a righteous man.
After we tell them they're made in the image of God, let's tell them the story about God's favorite dude, Abraham, pimping his wife out as his sister to the king of Egypt. Let's tell them that, too. Oh, there's lots of fun stuff we can tell them after we tell them that they're made in the image of God. After we tell them they're made in the image of God, let's tell them about what God did to every innocent firstborn male child among the Egyptians. Now, those children hadn't done a thing to offend the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky, but he murdered them just the same. After we tell them they're made in the image of God, let's tell them about what God let Herod do after a little Palestinian baby named Yeshua was born. Herod was said to have murdered every male baby child that had been born in or about the time, because he had heard that the little baby Yeshua was going to be king of the Jews. And he, Herod, was already busy being king of the Jews. Yeah, there's lots there to tell him.
And as the first president of the United States said, don't think that we can have morality without religion. We've driven religion.
Find the quote. Hint, you won't. That's more of that made-up bullshit from David Barton. In White Wing World, Jefferson and Madison and Adams and Washington were all the time walking around talking about how wonderful religion was. The only interesting fact being out of that being the fact that they were, each and every one of them, non-religious. They were what were called deists. Yeah, there's a God. Don't know much about it. Can't do anything about it. There we go. Next, deism. We'd call it today agnosticism.
From our public life, and we're shocked that we no longer have morality and we no longer value human life.
Tony, I'd like to bring in Pastor Corey Brooks from the New Beginnings Church now. Pastor.
Yeah, let's don't say we didn't. Because there's the overall. Why are you asking preachers why we have gun violence in this country? When their answer is only going to be, hey, let's get more people coming in and putting money in the collection plate. Now, about that white supremacy a moment ago. There's one thing you need to know about Tony Perkins. Way, way, way back when he first had the idea for this grift, and it has proven to be an extremely lucrative grift, the Family Research Council, he needed to reach out to get people to start donating to his little 501c3, and it's all tax-free, hallelujah. And especially in right-wing world, because they perfected it, I think it was Richard Viguerie beginning about 1968, direct mail. And, of course, in the electronic age, direct email. Tony Perkins needed an email list, a mailing list, so that he could send people requests for them to give him money so he could protect America against the Homer sectionals and the godless liberals and the evolutionary biologists. Well, he bought him a list. And the list that he bought from, wait for it, David Duke, the Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan, is where he got one of his first mailing lists. So that we can say, and say accurately, that the first people to support Tony Perkins' theocratic assault on constitutional self-governance in the United States were people who also supported the Ku Klux Klan. I think that makes Tony Perkins at least a Kleagle. Just maybe file that away and remember that anytime you see his name in print, in the press, online, on a TV show. Hey, look, there's the guy whose organization was founded with money from people who support the Klan. There's a reason that the Family Research Council is designated a hate group. Because it was born out of another one. It was grounded, founded, and funded by another one. Ron in Raleigh says, I'm guessing Tony thinks A Handmaid's Tale is a sitcom. Why the incandescent fuck does a so-called news outfit, what are they doing calling a religious huckster to opine on a mass shooting? Religion absent from the public sphere? Turn on your goddamn TV, Tony, and go to the top end of your dial. You'll find all the religion you want. And I don't know about where you are, but the churches aren't exactly going out of business here. The parking lots are full every Sunday. Doesn't seem to be making any difference, but they are. And is it odd? Just asking, is it odd that, okay, so we're all told that, you know, California's all liberal. So I guess California is an outlier where gun violence is concerned. But by God, Texas, Alabama, Ohio, these are places with a long history of the frontier spirit. People are supposed to know how dangerous guns are and be respectful of them. Only they aren't. And 14-year-old little boys blow away their 6-month-old baby brothers. Is that an immorality problem? Something tells me it isn't. So, having entered the second hour of the program, and remember, this is a shortened program this evening. We've got. I want to extend thanks to Renee in D.C. Thank you, Renee. Renee, among other things, is every evening puts out a tweet encouraging people to participate in the program. Thank you so much, Renee. So we're started on fundraising. We got $195 to go. And hopefully a few people will jump in alongside Renee so that we won't have a deficit when I come back on Thursday. Thank you again. More moral countries, asks Steve in New York. Norway, Sweden, France, Germany, Finland, Australia, New Zealand. Odd, they all have way less gun deaths. They also have way less religion. The hell you say? Absolutely true. Funny how Tony Perkins's logic falls apart like a newspaper hat in a rainstorm. But of course. So let's run over. He mentioned some TV viewing tips. Let's run over and check in with Scott in San Diego. Hey, Scott.
Hello, Bobalicious. How are you today?
Oh, I'm just bobbing right along.
That's what we need, bobbleheads. Yeah, bobbleheads.
Yeah, the red robin goes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Yeah, no. It's you know, never mind bat day. And you don't want those things hanging upside down as they sleep, with their wings drooping and then waking up to dine on your blood. So forget that day.
Yeah.
Have Bobblehead Day.
Bobblehead Bob.
Yeah, there you go. With a horn T-shirt or something. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely not the naked radio Bob.
No.
Well, there went dinner in the Central Time Zone.
and I'm not far behind you. We've got a little heat wave going here in America's greatest city for another couple of days. Mid to high 80s here in the coastal region or near to the coastal region, and way hot inland, and never mind in the desert, triple digits, like 119 or something. But it's a dry heat. Fuck your dry heat, you know. But I didn't call to give you a weather report. No. Going back to Tony, yes, Mother Bates Perkins, I can't keep his idiotic talking points straight. And today you
well, by God, they are straight, and don't you ever say anything otherwise.
Well, you unveiled one that I hadn't heard, a reference anyway. And this is where my confusion creeps up, like those Fruit of the Loom shorts creep up on you. He talked about the moral core. Okay, but a couple of years ago, they were going on and on about moral fiber. Now, is the moral fiber, does it surround the moral core, or does it make up the body of the moral core? I see you don't know either, because there's no snappy rejoinder.
It's flummocacious.
Yeah, well, they just, you know. And speaking of insane talking points, for the Horn listeners, the Horn family members who have access to HBO, there's a film, a black comedy or a bleak comedy based on a novel by Christopher Buckley, who I think was the son of William F., if I'm remembering correctly. A film on HBO or HBO Go for the foreseeable future. Thank You for Smoking. Have you ever seen that film?
Yeah, I have.
I hadn't seen it since it first came out. I got it a year or so later when Netflix was still sending out DVDs in the mail before they really launched their streaming service. And I watched it, and I was rather impressed with just how they, because there's a couple of scenes in there where he demonstrates the construction of their insane talking points. They're not trying to win us over, because we're not coming over regardless. They're trying to make us wrong and make themselves right. And they do it basically by changing the fucking subject. I encourage the Horn family, if they have HBO or HBO Go, to look for Thank You for Smoking. That's one of the TV viewing tips, because it's instructive in the ways of the crazy talkers, you know? So there's that. But the other thing about the conversion so-called therapy, the other night I DVR'd a film from last year that stars Russell Crowe as a fundamentalist preacher and Nicole Kidman as his wife, his long-suffering wife. And the name of the film is Boy Erased. And it's based on a true person whose name is different than the name of the character of the kid, the teenager, 18-years-old teenager, in the film, the son of Nicole and Russell. And they send him, with very little in the way of investigation, to one of these typical conversion, so-called conversion therapy institutes. And it's painful to watch. It's a sad movie, opinion. It's a sad movie, because as the movie in the end credits mentions, or right before the end credits, there are still 36 United States, American states, that don't prohibit this so-called gay conversion, so-called therapy. And I'm happy to announce that California was on to these idiots a year or two ago, and they basically banned them.
Yeah, the story I had said that there are 18 states that offer some level of protection to children against pray the gay away.
Yeah.
So by my math, that would mean there are 32 states that do not. Of course, we also have to take into account Puerto Rico, Washington, D.C., American Samoa, U.S. Virgin Islands.
But anyway, this movie, Boy Erased, is painful to watch. But any of the Horn family members who have HBO or HBO Go, I encourage you to check it out because it is instructive. But it's not nearly as funny as Thank You for Smoking. It's a damn serious. But this fellow, basically, I'm not going to give the plot away, but after his experience at this conversion place, he went on to become a writer, and he wrote an article in, I'm trying to think whether it was the New Yorker or the Atlantic or one of the popular web places. And I believe he wrote a book or will write a book expanding on his experience. Boy Erased, it's well worth your time to check that out.
I gotta be candid here. I have a hard time making myself watch grim, sad things these days. Because the nature, at least, of what I do is to read some pretty grim, sad shit all day long.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's, you know, to do that before turning out the lights and going to sleep, that's kind of sketchy for me. And that's not to say that I'm trying to escape it. It's just that it feels, well. And I'm not saying anything about the quality of the piece. I'm sure I've read about it. I've read reviews, and they seem to be uniformly praiseful of the work done here.
Well, maybe I'm overstating it. It just struck me as a very, you know, very sad film. And I have a background.
I think by definition it has to be.
Well, yeah. Yeah, to get the point across. And I want to say it has a somewhat hopeful, I won't say a happy ending, but to my mind, it has a somewhat hopeful ending. But hell, if 36 or 32 states still do not prohibit, because it's, again, this bias against actual science and actual medical practice. I don't know if any of these organizations, these institutes for conversion or pray the gay away, I don't know of any of them who are staffed by, well, obviously, if they were staffed by scientists and actual bona fide medicine men and women, they wouldn't exist because you wouldn't have that caliber of staff at places like that because it's not good science. And it sure as hell is not good medicine. You know? It's
well, okay, so Marcus Bachman was a
real... Horrendous, what they're doing.
But Marcus Bachman was
and
a
again,
real...
You know, well, you talked about it. You wouldn't be... You'd be disinclined normally to watch a film that's that much of a bummer. And you're right to do that, given the topics on the show day after day. But that leads me to this, something that I've noticed about myself in recent days and weeks. I'm like a bunch of sponges that have soaked up their utter limit of stuff liquid or whatever, they can't take in a solitary drop more of the madness. And I don't know what to do. I want to stay informed. I want to post on Facebook and other places and write little essays and things. But it's like farting against thunder. Now, my older brother, who has his head on straight, says, well, you got to call out online, because he knows that I have a way with words. You've got to call out the stupidity of these people. But to my reckoning, if people who are impressionable and whose minds are changeable don't know by now what a fucking moron Trump and his enablers are, then what's the point of even calling them out? Did you get my
meaning?
Oh, I do. Meaning?
I absolutely do.
But what do you do when you have absorbed, you're a concerned citizen, but you're inundated with this seemingly endless onslaught of madness, whether it's the fucking mass shootings or the torrents of tweets by this lunatic? I call him President Toe Cheese.
You've moved on from Demented Circus Peanut.
Yeah, oh, that's a lighthearted look at the state of things. President Toe Cheese, because there's nothing more disgusting, and you can't get any lower than Toe Cheese, given its natural habitat, you know? Oh, and by the way, the line that you gave me the cowbell for, I heard that particular saying, army of unfuckable hate nerds, I believe was the line, that actually originated with Mark Maron. He had a guy on the other day. The name of his book is It Came From Something Awful. And there's also a C-SPAN interview with the author. He basically gives a cogent history of 2chan and 4chan and just how these social media and bulletin board type outlets online got to be the influence, to have the influence that they have in our daily discourse. I haven't read the book, but I heard Maron's interview with him, and I bookmarked C-SPAN visit that he did on Book TV not long ago. And the kid, you know, he's a young person in his 20s, I'm guessing. He seems to know his stuff, is what I'm saying.
Well, and in relation to something like Boy Erased, and we've talked some on the program about The Family, the series.
Oh, yes.
I would, you know, it's not an answer to what's a person supposed to do. But I think there is some value to be had, Scott, in understanding the nexus between the two, because it's there.
Oh, yeah.
The people who were part of The Family are the same kind of people who think that Pray the Gay Away works. And they participate in a common pool of hateful messianism.
And it's all tax-free, Bob.
Hallelujah. The Tony Perkinses, The Family, the Pray the Gay Away people, the Marcus Bachmans of the world. You know, you asked earlier, are these things being run by anybody who has any even tangential connection to actual science? Marcus Bachman, 1L, batshit crazy 1L Michelle's husband. Well, that dude is a licensed psychologist, a licensed therapist in, I guess, the state of Minnesota.
Jesus.
And even though his Pray the Gay Away so-called therapy has been roundly condemned by his own professional organization, he is allowed to persist in it. sort of the same way that there is no proof that a good guy with a gun stops. There are lots of good guys with guns in Odessa and Midland. Didn't stop anything. It took seven people dead and 20 wounded before the good guys with a gun could do any good with their guns. Same thing in Dayton. Same thing in El Paso. Same thing in Gilroy. And these murderers aren't concerned about good guys with guns because, A, they realize they're probably going to die anyway, and, B, they know they get the drop and they know they get the first shots. And so it becomes a kind of contest among them to see who can kill the most in the least amount of time.
Yeah.
But in a larger sense, and I didn't mean to turn the conversation back to firearms, but it's the same. You know, we joke about Venn diagrams. It's the same Venn diagram. The Venn diagram of pray the gay away is the same circle as good guys with guns stop bad guys with guns is the same circle as Trump is the chosen one.
Yeah, the heat is getting to me. Not creationists, the dominionists.
They're far from being mutually exclusive.
No, but the thing is, I've been around long enough to where I know some of the history, but even I learn new stuff on a regular basis, and maybe that's how it ought to be. I just emailed you a piece from Politico the other day that I had posted on my Facebook. A lot of people think that the Koch family, the Koch brothers and Daddy Koch, were that all of this kind of started in the 50s, the late 50s, and the John Birch Society and the libertarianism and all that. This article that I just sent you has to do with a couple of other brothers that predate the Koch brothers by decades, who were, you know, swirling their grubby, moneyed right-wing fingers into the system, the political system, in a manipulative, evil, certainly anti-liberal, maybe even fascist way. And the Pews, P-E-W, Pew, the Pew brothers. And I didn't read all of the article, but I wonder, every now and again on PBS, you'll see on the list of funders for different programs, the Pew Charitable Trust. I hope to God that's not the same Pews. Because if it is, what is right-wing money? I mean, granted, PBS needs money, okay? But it's just like David Koch was a big contributor to NOVA, the science program on PBS. Now, I don't know that NOVA has ever done a hard-hitting piece on global climate change. Or maybe if they did, David didn't contribute any money to that film. You know, well, he's not contributing anything now. I mean, maybe in his will he is. But it's like, you know, it's like the saturation sense that I'm feeling. It's as if we are so badly outnumbered, plus our side doesn't seem to play the same game. I don't mean use the same tactic. But we don't seem to be playing in a serious enough way to win. You know, because you saw what happened in 2016. I'm not going to rehash that. But the people whose candidate didn't get to be the nominee kind of went to their corner to pout or sulk or be upset or whatever they did, or they supported what's her name, who you know, the one who doesn't know Cincinnati from Cleveland or Columbus or wherever the hell she was trying to get, Jill Stein. But
that's you, Jill fucking Stein.
Yeah, but do you sometimes feel overwhelmed or surrounded, or so?
The biggest challenge on any given night, or any given afternoon, evening, is trying to figure out what to go with. It's only a 3-hour program.
Well, I know, but it used to be a show on network radio back in the 30s or 40s called Can You Top This? And it was a panel of comedians who would try to outspritz one another with jokes and lines and guffaws. Well, that has been morphed on the Horn program of Can You Top This? In terms of the latest outrage, the most obscene thing. And these stories are coming fast and fucking furious, Bob. Well, you know that. That's no news flash to you. And it's like, and I know that you try to leaven it with good stuff, but it seems as if there's not a lot of good stuff lately.
It gives me
pause, man. It scares me a little bit. Maybe more than it should, because I really think, and I know that I'm the eternal optimist here, but I've got to think that there are more of us than there are of them, and that in 2020, when we're called upon to make a major course correction, that somehow we'll manage that. Because, I mean, if we don't, we're terribly screwed. Maybe permanent.
Well, look, everything depends upon, and this makes matters problematic, everything depends upon people who are part of the resistance or whatnot disproving that old quip by Will Rogers, you know, where he said, I'm not a member of an organized political party, I'm a Democrat.
Yeah, I know that.
We have got to be organized, and we have to speak with one voice in November. A lot of people indulge themselves in some pretty serious selfishness when they were talking about, you know, my conscience can't do this. I'm going to vote for Jill. Those were votes to fuck America. Those were votes by people who had the privilege to be able to do that, knowing that whatever Trump did would not harm them. And again, like you, I don't want to relitigate 2016, but we cannot redo 2016 in 2020. I mean, I'm worried as hell. Joe Biden scares the piss out of me. Not because he's some radical commie pinko liberal, but because it looks like he, alongside Nitwit Nero, they're in a battle to see who can look like they're falling apart the fastest.
You know, it's really a shame that Roger Mudd is retired, because we need another Roger Mudd, Ted Kennedy moment, a la 1980. Wasn't it Roger Mudd who sat Senator Kennedy down and interviewed him for an hour on network TV? I think by this time Roger was at NBC after being passed over. I guess that was before he was passed over for Cronkite's chair. Or maybe it wasn't, but whenever it was, it was in 1980, and Roger Mudd sat down for an hour on one of the networks, probably CBS, and talked to Ted Kennedy, and Kennedy could not make a case in terms of answering the question, So why do you want to be president, Senator? I think Biden is having a case of the Ted Kennedys here in terms of, yeah, we know good old Joe, good old, you know, Scranton Joe, okay, good old Delaware Joe, good old train traveling Joe, okay, but he doesn't seem to be bringing an A game, and that's probably an understatement, you know? And here's what troubles me, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, Bob, but I tend to think that by and large, liberals, progressives, Democrats, are a fairly contemplative group. Would you agree with that? That we do engage.
Well, yeah, and sometimes that works to one's detriment. Witness the contemplative nature of Hamlet.
Well, yeah, but here's the deal. There is such a thing as too much contemplation, because there's a very fine line between nose in one's navel and head up one's ass. Would you agree with that?
Oh, man, you're banging on all eight.
Well, listen, and this is nothing new for me. I came to that conclusion a while back. You know, that
November 2020 is no time for nuance.
Well, no.
Whoever the nominee is whoever we have to vote for. I chat with Dr. Bill a little bit before he goes on air. And we are of like mind insofar as this country cannot stand another 4 years of that madman.
No.
I mean, we may have said things similar to that, say, in 2004 when W was running for re-election. I don't recall saying anything like that when Pappy Bush was running for re-election. But this is for real. The institutions are failing as we watch them fail.
Yeah.
Before our very eyes.
Well, chapter and verse. Endangered species, the fucking rollbacks of pollution controls and environmental protection, you know that they're hell-bent to wreck Social Security, okay? And that's just three areas. There's probably three dozen more on the agenda, packing the courts, the fucking federal court system, you know? And it's that again, it goes back to feeling just completely over, as Tom Lehrer once described it, having that uncomfortable feeling like a Christian Scientist with appendicitis, you know?
Yeah. And so come 2020, November 2020, if we're still lamenting whomever the nominee is,
yeah.
And that's the thing, whomever the nominee is, there will be somebody out there pearl-clutching and hand-wringing about it. And if the nominee's Joe Biden, I'm probably going to be one of them. But I'm trying to encourage myself to get the fuck over it.
You have to. I'm glad that, but speaking of candidates, former candidates in this case, I am so happy that Gillibrand dropped out. Because I was hard-pressed, Bob, if she had somehow become the nominee, given her Franken escapade, I had serious reservations about, you know, thoughts about sitting it out if she were the nominee, and thank God she won't be. And I hope to God whoever is doesn't, you know, that they do have the good sense not to call on her to serve in the second spot. Because I don't like her.
I got past the Franken stuff because, you know, she didn't put a gun to his head. He's the one who resigned. She didn't hold his hand and sign the resignation. She didn't have her hand up his jacket, moving his mouth, when he said I quit.
Yeah,
but what I could not get past and I still can't get past, and leads me not to trust her, is the fact that she bragged about keeping a loaded, not a loaded rifle, but loaded rifles under her bed because she was going to defend her home against invaders. And she was saying it when she needed the check that the National Ruble Association was writing.
Well, will there be any benefit? I don't, it may not even be necessary, but is it a good idea to get their all of the candidates' ratings, their report card from NRA going back?
Well, and this is a question I've asked in the past, and I can't seem to get anything that resembles a consensus on it. Let's limit it to the 20th century. Or 21st century, I'm sorry. If you have taken so much as one thin goddamn dime from the NRA in the 21st century, should that be disqualifying as a member, as a potential nominee for the presidency of the United States on the Democratic Party ticket? Now, some will say that that's purity police. Others will say that's somehow irrelevant or unfair. But if you've ever taken that money, you have been relative to my view of the NRA. The NRA is the single bloodiest, most corrupting force in American politics today. And if you have ever taken a penny from them, you have been to one degree or another corrupted by them. Because somewhere along the way, you've done something they wanted done. And I suspect there are two or more Democratic candidates for president who have cashed those checks.
Well, that data is available because they do have to make it public, don't they?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the NRA or someone keeps records on a yearly basis of the so-called report cards.
But what do you think of the question? Should it be disqualifying to have ever cashed an NRA check if you're running for president as a Democrat?
In the 21st century?
Yes.
It bears very close thought and examination. I'll go so far as to say that, and I don't mean to cop out on you. But although I don't say that with any fervor, because there's always circumstances, I guess, you know, because politics is a money game, the way it's played in this country anyway. I immediately think of Bernie. Didn't he have a fairly high report card?
He took a lot, not just some, a lot of money from the NRA in the 21st century.
Now, see, that is troubling.
At or about the, I'm not sure what the time frame is relative to the shooting at Sandy Hook. I think it's 2014 is when he took money from him last.
And for purposes of comparison,
somewhere along the way, Joe Biden, I don't know this for a fact. I can't imagine, given the people he took money from, that Joe Biden didn't take money from him too. But again, that's speculation.
In terms of, Bob, in terms of Bernie, since we were talking about him, for purposes of comparison, didn't Daddy Bush tear up his NRA card, his membership card?
I do believe you're right.
And that was some years ago. I forget the exact context, you know, for it, but he was, was he still in office when he did that, or was it after?
I don't remember.
I don't see, there's so many of these fucking incidents that they all run together. It's like, yeah. Are there any articles that people have written about who has been at that sugar tent, that NRA sugar tent?
Because yeah, there are. I found one a few weeks ago, and I can't remember who it came from. Maybe it was Vox. But it listed the biggest recipients of NRA money, and the names are what the names are.
Jeez.
And you know, again, I'm trying to hew close to my vow to not tear down any candidates, and I am not endorsing any candidates.
Yeah, but at the same time, you've got to look carefully as you're making your choice, and take into consideration at least various factors, and that is an important various factor.
It is indeed, but more in line with what I'm trying to get across here is that I would like to. I know a little tiny radio show. It doesn't matter.
Did you say get a crosshair?
No, I said a little tiny radio show. I'm trying to get across what I'm trying to get across here, smartass.
I know.
Is that I'm trying to focus on the problem, and the problem is not Elizabeth Warren versus Bernie versus Kamala versus Biden versus Buttigieg. But yet, no. The problem is Donald J. Trump.
Yeah.
And anybody who says, oh, but Bernie, or oh, but Warren, or oh, but Biden, you're being part of the problem, because the problem is Donald J. Trump, and you're not focusing on the problem. Go about your business, vote for who you want to in the primaries, vote with your heart in the primaries, but for the love of Christ, come November 2020, vote with your goddamn big primate brain.
Yeah. Well, the other day before yesterday, I think, there was a headline in one of the online places regarding Biden and Warren, and the question that they were pondering in the piece was, will you compromise with the GOP on the matter of guns? And one said they would, and one said they wouldn't.
Well, whoever said they would does not understand the nature of the GOP or the NRA. The only compromise with the GOP and the NRA is to do exactly what the GOP and the NRA demand be done or not done.
Yeah.
That's their idea of compromise. You know, how do you compromise on wanting every firearms transaction to be a firearms transaction that has a background check attached to it? Because background checks are universal or they aren't.
Even responsible gun owners, to the tune of something like 70, in the high 70s%, have no problem. I'm talking about responsible gun owners, have no problem with that type of background check when it comes to the sale of firearms, whether it's at a firearms store or a Walmart or a flea market, if I understand the statistic correctly. Now, how is it that when you've got gun owners in the upper 70%, the upper 70s percentile percentage, who have no problem with a rational suggestion to do fucking effective, meaningful background checks before the sale can be consummated. Now, if we're at that point, I mean, upper 70s% is a good chunk of a group. I mean, it's a sizable chunk, and it seems to reflect a concern. And
but see, those that upper 70s percent, the NRA doesn't give a damn about them, and neither does the GOP.
Oh, I know that. But We mustn't let a fringe group. Now, remember, the NRA's membership is only 5 million. In the grand scheme of things, that's not a large number. Now, granted, it's a larger number than the number of people who are being slaughtered senselessly by firearms in the hands of lunatics, criminals, and terrorists, okay? So, but do nothing, and then all you've got to do is stay tuned, and that number will continue to creep up. It'll be like a fucking snowball coming down the mountain, chasing Rocket J Squirrel and Bullwinkle Moose, if you remember the graphic, the cartoon, you know.
Right.
Because things are speeding up. It's almost something like out of a Hal Lindsey book.
Oh, Jesus.
No, I'm serious. That times will become higher, that it'll be like no matter where you turn, and I'm not buying into the religious horse yet, to be, you know, redundant, but it's that same dynamic that seems to be happening. The whole fucking country, if not the world, are going completely batshit crazy, full tilt boogie, period. And I mean, we want to put on the brakes. We need a meaningful course correction, and we need it in November of 2020. So to some extent, I know we're still shopping for which candidate to support, and that process will play out however it plays out. But somehow or another, we need to leaven the conversation with helpful, practical steps that can be taken by responsible voters who want to do right. Because we don't want to make any mistakes this time around.
Can't afford them. Hey, Scott, no, I'm gonna ring off here. I think there've been a couple of people calling the stress line, and it doesn't work right now.
Okay,
so,
let me go. But I did want to give the two tips: Boy Erased on HBO, and Thank You for Smoking on HBO or HBO Go. But anyway, the time slips by when we yapping, Bob. But I enjoy them.
Well, and it's always information dense and a conversation done in good faith. This is how I like for conversation radio to work.
Well, it's my pleasure to be part of the process.
Well, and mine as well. Thank you, Scott. Have yourself a good evening. Try to stay cool.
I will.
Turn the box fan in the window up to 11, will you?
No, I got the Lasco fan pointed right at me, and old Chirps was up here on the arm of the chair soaking up the coolness. So, anyway, take care, Bob.
All right, later.
See ya.
See ya. And meanwhile, with a few minutes left in the program, let's check in with an old friend of the program. Is that you, Bruce?
Yes, sir, you do. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. You?
All right, I'll turn off that radio so there's no echo. Great conversation you had with that gentleman there. I hadn't heard him before. He seems to be a very quite knowledgeable gentleman. Bob, I want to call tonight because, it seems like that we have, as you guys discussed, a crisis with our guns now. I am still on, yeah? Hello?
Yeah, you're right here.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure I didn't hear anything. Being the astute observer of reality that I am, I pulled up statistics from the Canadian folks up there and us, between us and them with guns, and, how many murders they have per year versus how many we have. And et cetera. And, I found a huge discrepancy between the two numbers. And in Canada, they have, a lot of guns as well, because they are gun happy and beer happy people, but they don't use the guns or the beer at the same time and tend to not shoot each other as much as we do. But I wanted to put this out there as a proposal. I don't know. I haven't heard any candidates say this, and maybe there's one a staffer listening who might throw this one out there. How about we put about a 2-year moratorium on the manufacturing?
Oh, you got right to the idea, and you dropped out. A 2-year moratorium on what?
On the manufacture of firearms. On the creation of more guns. We have 8.8 guns for every 10 Americans in this country. Did you know that, Bob?
No, yeah. I thought we had more guns than we did people, but that sounds about
right.
The
last number that I read, which was, I think, 2016, said that we had basically 88 guns for every 100 Americans. And that seems to, I don't own a firearm, and if I did own one, I wouldn't say it on the air. But the point is that the old adage about, well, if you outlaw guns, only criminals are going to have guns. Well, how about we go to the streets and buy them instead of go to the gun show and start pulling those guns off the streets? I mean, I don't understand why, in an age when we have found the opioid manufacturers liable for the opioid crisis in this country.
Well, there's one problem. I can answer that question, Bruce. There's one problem.
Yeah, the
problem.
NRA.
Well, I mean,
way left here.
I mean, no, but with more specificity. Congress passed a law to prevent people from being able to sue gun manufacturers for the harm that the firearms cause. They created a bubble of legal immunity for the firearms manufacturers.
How long ago was that, Bob?
Oh, God. Late 90s, maybe? Early aughts?
Why is there no talk among any of the candidates that we have on the
that we repeal that law?
Why is there not any talk about that at all?
Some candidates won't talk about it because some candidates probably have tangential connections to the actual passage of the law.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave.
As far as a real world solution goes, I'm not much of a capitalist, but in a capitalist country, you've got to come up with some capitalist solutions.
Exactly, money.
And there is nothing more capitalist than insurance. And there is nobody better at assessing risk than the insurance industry.
Okay. I think I might know where you're going with this. I had a conversation about this yesterday with somebody.
So, if we make every gun owner in this country carry liability insurance for injuries caused by accidental discharge, or firearms that have been stolen, that'll probably cut down ownership considerably.
You know what they're going to say? Poll tax.
Well, but it's not. It's not.
No, I don't think it is either. But there's been. It is a sticky. I just can't imagine that Tom Jefferson or James Madison or any of those guys, who had all these lofty ideals and wrote them down on paper and called it the Constitution. Had the idea in mind that every American was going to be armed to the teeth with weapons that could discharge projectiles, at a rate that is absolutely mind-boggling. I mean, I don't think that they thought of that, they had muskets, man. They had muskets.
Sure.
That took, you fire it, and then you have to damn reload it, and the reloading takes about 30 seconds. Or longer.
If you're really good. Yeah.
If you're really good. So you're not talking about, 30 seconds, a guy can run down behind a bush.
But they don't want to. That's that's a conversation that that's addressed, well, among other people who addressed it, still dead Tony Scalia spoke to.
Yeah, him. Excuse my language.
He said that if it was up to him, American citizens would be able to own bazookas.
Really? Huh. Well, you know, if your neighbor lets your dog shit on the yard, then go ahead and hit him with a missile, you know? I mean, what the hell? And the other part of this, see, that I am, there's so many facets to the violence rate that's going on, but I got to say this, man, and I know this sounds kind of crazy, all right? I'm not a conspiracy theorist by any stretch of the imagination. However, I have read a lot about some of the things that the dark artists at the CIA have perpetrated on our populace, okay? And it would not surprise me any to find out that some of these folks who have done this kind of stuff, they are susceptible to suggestion. Okay, I don't want to go any deeper than that because I don't want to sound like I'm a lunatic, because I'm not. But we have had so many of these mass shootings in the last, let's say, 2 years, 3 years. You know, they started out, you know, one here and then one there, and then all of a sudden now it's like every freaking week, you know, that we have
more mass shootings in America than there have been days in this year.
I know that, Bob, and let me tell you something, man. That is troubling to me. What happened to the kinder, gentler New World Order that George H.W. Bush talked about in 1988 or 89? You know, I don't understand how we have evolved from, or devolved, I should say, from a society that respects one another. You know, there's more to the story than just the guns. I mean, the guns are the, how can I put this? The guns are the expressions, the outward symptomology of a deeper problem. And that deeper problem is being flamed by our president, is being flamed by the Republicans in Congress, you know, just so they can get one more vote, you know, to give them another term in power so they can line their fat cat's pockets. And you and I know that. But these folks out here who are being manipulated don't even see it at all. I talk to guys all the time who have nothing, okay? They have nothing, but they think this president actually gives a damn about them. I mean, you know, I don't understand how the connection. I'm somewhat flummoxed right now just because of the fact that even talking about it, you know, I sit and think about this a lot. What is it about this guy or this party that draws in folks who really think that this guy's going to be their savior? You know, I don't get it.
It's all bias confirmation, plain and simple.
Well, ignorance is breeds prejudice.
He hates the same people they hate, and that gives them cover to now, hate harder and deeper.
Confirmation. Yes, my opinions are valid. I can express them now because he's saying them too.
Yeah.
Well, I still, you know, remember the time that I fired a helper. I was an electrician at the time, and I was working for a company that was pretty much all white, and they had one black guy that worked for them, and he was a good friend of mine. And I had a helper who was talking about that N-word guy who worked at the company, and I put him out of the truck on the spot. I said, "You're not going to be my helper." I put him out in the middle of the road, so he walked back to the shop. And I got back to because I was one of the better electricians, they didn't fire me, but they had a long talk with me about making sure that I was, on the board with the company and on the same team and all this shit. And I said, "Well, let me explain something to you, man. My principles are not for sale, you know." And that was back in the early 90s, you know. So, you know, I feel that we have given permission, tacit permission, to the basest of human natures, which is fear. You know, and people, you know, expressing their fear and feeling that they can be validated in their prejudices, you know, the prejudging of another person based on some external criteria, you know, we have validated that and said that that's okay. You can feel that way. No. Contempt prior to investigation is one of the worst traits of human nature.
Well, you know? it goes hand in hand, Bruce, with
Did I
flummox
you?
Yeah, I flounged on that one. I had an idea, but I got to get out of here anyway because I'm sitting in for Mike Malloy at 9. Right. So I have
one
to
more
shut
thing,
down
Bob.
Early. Yeah.
One more thing, Bob. I don't know if I'd shared before that I was having serious health issues. You know, I think I might have on the air. But I wanted to, anybody who remembers me from back in the day, which, by the way, it's absolutely awesome that you're keeping the show going. And, you know, you are a hero to me, Bob. You always have been. And, you know, I have more respect for you than I do most people I've ever met. And so please know that. I love you dearly. You know, and I love the fact that you continue to make your opinion known. And keep doing it until they come lock you up, you know, which may happen. You never know. This is this country's going down the toilet.
I'll be selling Lucy's under the Southwest Guard Tower.
All right, they're $5, man, for a Cadillac. But anyway, that's prison terminology for a Newport. I just want to say this, and then I'll let you go, man. Is that I absolutely love this network, and would love at some point to come on and be helpful with y'all. I had recently found out that my heart is regenerating, and there's 25% more strengthening in the heart, part of my heart, that was dying. So, and the doctor was blown away. He couldn't believe it. He was like, I've never seen this before. So, you know, I don't want to talk about miracles because I'm not a Christian or really believe that much in all that, but I do believe that the human condition, that if we intend to live, we intend to do what we intend to do, that we will get it done.
Well, there's an old Latin phrase out there, and it goes, dum vivimus, vivamus. While we live, so let us live.
And there's another one Bill Clinton said. There's nothing that is so wrong with us that what is right with us can't fix.
Truth in that. And by the way, Lady B just wrote in, said, wow, me and Bruce said flummoxed at the same time. God, we're a symmetric group.
Yeah. Well, you know, that tickled me. That's fun. All right, Bob, have a great evening. Much love to all of your listeners. And I certainly hope that in West Virginia, where the unions are going Republican, which I can't understand, you know, that you can continue to be a constant voice, a light in the darkness, my friend, a light in the darkness.
Every day we try to keep it out, get it out from under that bushel basket. You take care, Bruce.
There you go.
Later now.
All right.
Bye. And so I went a little bit over, but we'll be okay for the turnaround for the Malloy show. Thanks, by the way, earlier in the evening. Thank you to Chaz for getting in alongside Renee. That means we finish at 185 for the day. And when I get back Thursday, unless something changes overnight or over two nights, we'll be at 385 on Thursday. Thank you to all of you who keep the program going. Thanks to our subscribers. Thanks to the folks who kick in on an ad hoc basis, evening by evening. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this little conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks, Sparky, earlier in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thanks, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all. Remember, no program tomorrow, back Thursday. Oh, and hey, join me for Malloy in about 50 minutes, if you're listening live.